The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Monday, the 30th of September, 2024. It's the last trading day of Q3. And so Q4 is better. And it should be. Generally, it is. November, December, good months. Whereas, you know, September's a hard month, summer can be a hard month. So let's hope, you know, it gets better. It didn't help that the CEO of UK PLC, which is Keir Starmer, talking down the economy and then bigging up this Halloween budget, which is delayed investment. And you can see it in the AIM All Share. It's gone nowhere or it's grinded lower for the last couple of months because people are worried about investing, worried about capital gains tax. There's only three areas, you know, which Reeves can tax now because they box themselves into a corner by saying they wouldn't raise, you know, VAT, income tax, national insurance. So they've had, you know, the low-hanging fruit is gone. And they're making a bit of a mess of that. So it's an interesting survey out today, actually. UK businesses' confidence, the confidence UK businesses have, has fallen from an 8-year high. This is according to Lloyds Bank, who surveyed 1,200 businesses. And they say some businesses were putting investments and hiring plans on hold until there's clarity about the new Labour government's tax policy and employment law changes. So they're waiting to see what's in the budget. Do you know what? I don't think Rachel Reeves knows now. Have you seen what happened on the weekend? There's been a couple of things happening. First of all, the non-dom status. You know, if you're a wealthy person, you can pay less tax in the country. You don't earn most of your money and whatever. And you know, Keir Starmer used to barack sort of Sunak about that and his wife. Apparently she does pay now full tax here. But it turns out they're going to banish non-dom status. Turns out now it won't make any money. In fact, it may even cost money. I think so. Okay, so let's scrap that one then. That's off the budget. They are rewriting the budget right now, as we talk. Literally, we're nearly in October tomorrow, and they haven't got down, have they? Not only that, but their big sort of flagship policy of making money was battering the pensioners with the winter fuel allowance, cutting that. Turns out that now won't even make anywhere near as money as they thought they would. Because they were saying it would make around 1.9 billion. Okay. Now, people have been encouraging pensioners, and Keir Starmer has, to apply for pensions credit if you're struggling. And a lot of pensioners are. There's a lot not, but a lot are. They've had a 154% increase in people applying for pensions credit, which allows you to get all other benefits to help with house, everything else. So it turns out now that cutting the, you know, winter fuel payments is going to reduce the take by half, pretty much. Some say up to half. So, you know, it's one thing saying businesses are going to wait to see what's in the budget. I don't think Labour know what's in the budget. anyway, I tell you, their honeymoon is well and truly over, isn't it? And I know Keir says, you know, we're not here to make popular decisions. We're not here to be liked. We make hard decisions. I think he doesn't like being unpopular. And I think the budget may be less worrisome than... The unknown is always the scary thing, isn't it? But I don't think it's going to be as bad as we think. As far as CJT is concerned, you know, you've got till the next financial year. Wait till Santa rally, then sell some stock. Okay, this podcast looks at economic data relevant to the UK and news releases from revenue-generating microcap stocks. That is companies with a market cap below 100 million. Sharepickers.com/tips if you want to receive my emails on stocks. And just by signing up to that, by the way, gives you an added benefit. I'll read that at the end of the podcast. I'll let you know what that is at the end of the podcast. Do you know what today? There's loads of results out from individual companies. And it's amazing how many rubbish companies there are on AIM not making money. They're all generating revenue, but there's very few making money, actually making a profit. I know it's sort of a startup, you know, index, and it's a market for to raise capital to accelerate growth for new companies. But some of these companies are not new. They're still not making any money. When do you give it? Should there be a time frame on, you know, companies? 10 years. That's maximum. If you're on AIM 10 years and you've never made any money, you've got to get off. Get off it. Simple as that. Let's have a look at the markets quickly. I don't know why I say quickly. FTSE 100 is down 0.5% to 8277. FTSE 250 down 0.9% to 21046. What is it? FTSE small cap. That is down a little bit, yeah, 0.07%. And the AIM All Share, it literally is going nowhere for a long time now. In fact, the 6th of September 2021 was when it hit the high. Over 3 years ago. And now we're literally, we've had a bounce off the bottom, but we're still, you know, the bull market is 8.03 it starts. We're at 7.41 and we are just bouncing along here along the bottom, pretty much. So that's, 7.41, down 0.5%. Brent crude, it's down now. It was up earlier. After Israel attacked Yemen and the leader of Hezbollah, you thought that would push oil up. But it shows there's a massive problem with supply, isn't there? With demand, I mean. Supply and demand there, because that's all it's about. And China is unleashing bazookas of stimulus. Their stock market is going berserk. It's often, you know, a 5-year low or something, a 3-year low, but nevertheless, it's done about 20% in the last, you know, 4 or 5 trading sessions. But you'd think, is that a technical bounce? Because oil's not rallying. And of course, you know, China being a big consumer of oil, you'd think now they've helped the stimulus to stimulate the economy, it would follow through into oil demand, but it's not. And in fact, I'm looking now, copper had a bit of a bounce, well, over the last few sessions, done very well. But even that's down 1.8% today. But Brent crude is at $71.69, down 0.3%. Gold is down 0.3% again, but it's still at $2,660 an ounce. That's it on the thing. Let's look at some macro news then. Number one. UK economic growth for the first half of the year has been revised down in the latest estimates from the ONS. The ONS now thinks the UK economy grew by 0.5% in the second quarter of 2024, down from a previous estimate of 0.6%. So these are the actual figures. GDP, this is quarter on quarter for Q2, it came in at 0.5%. Like I said, forecast was 0.6, previously was 0.7. GDP year on year, it came in at 0.7%. It was expected to come in at 0.9%, and previously it was 0.3%. The ONS updated figures also showed a continued increase in the household savings rate, which rose to 10% in the latest quarter from 8.9% in the first quarter. Our latest data show that household savings continue to increase and are now at the highest rate since COVID-19 lockdowns. This is someone from the ONS. Now, that's quite worrying. That shows how careful people are being about their finances. And why would they be careful? Because they're worried about the future or the near future. So that savings rate, household savings rate, is 10%. And, you know, unless people are spending, then the economy's not going to grow. So obviously they haven't been inspired by Starmer and Reeves. Number two, Story number two, this is. Financial markets think the Bank of England will be forced to cut interest rates faster than the official guidance suggests. I agree. I think economic data is going to get worse. But I think the safety net for markets will be the Bank of England reducing now, quicker than we previously thought. Anyway, this is not economist ING, says, by the time of November's meeting, and more so by December, we think it will become clearer that rate cuts can pick up speed. They pointed out that the business surveys, such as the Bank of England's own decision-maker panel, indicate that wage growth looks set to fall much further in the months ahead, which should help them to push services inflation lower. Services inflation is a key indicator of domestic price pressure, making it a crucial gauge for the bank as it considers how far to cut interest rates. Traders have priced in around 100 basis points cuts in across 2025, which would mean the bank rate ends up the year around about 3.5%, with further reductions expected in 2026. I think we're in for a massive recession unless the Bank of England start doing something. I don't see how they can't just look ahead and why they're looking behind all the time. You can see what's going to happen. If business activity is slowing down, people are putting off an investment, and you can already see job vacancies going down and already inflation coming down, which leads wage growth, by the way. I don't see how they're going to see that. If inflation is 2.2%, then people are not going to get pay rises by 5 or 6%. They only got that because inflation was at 10%, pretty much. So I don't see why they think that's going to be stubborn. Wage inflation will not be stubborn when inflation is going down. And what will bring inflation down further? A recession. So they have to start looking ahead rather in the rearview mirror with very thick spectacles. And story number three. Fastest annual UK house price growth in 2 years. It's from the Guardian Business. UK house prices have risen at the fastest pace since the aftermath of the mini budget 2 years ago. Lender Nationwide has reported the average UK house price rose by 3.2% in the year to September, the quickest annual increase since November 2022. On a monthly basis, prices rose by 0.7%, picking up pace after a 0.2% drop in August. This has lifted the average house price to... Now, this is odd because they're very different. Rightmove do this stat as well, the average house price. And so there's a massive difference in the price. I don't understand why that is. So anyway, Nationwide have the average price of a house. And what do you think? I also like to play a quiz on this. What do you think? No, lower. Higher. No. That's my Bruce Forsyth impression. Anyway, average house price is up to £266,094. Why is it £94? Who pays that on the end? Recent falls in mortgage rates appear to have stimulated the market, with the Bank of England having begun cutting bank rate in August, and they've continued to do it faster. Mark my words. I've been saying it for a long, long time. Okay. Micro news. Lots of companies here releasing interims, of course, because they have to get the interims published on this day, the last day, of course. If their half year finishes at June, of course, they've got 3 months to publish those. So, first of all, BGO's ticker. Interim results. They're a market cap of 83 million. I don't understand why they're valued at 83 million. I saw a very positive title of a broker note. And I just looked at these figures and thought, why are you being so positive? I thought, I know why. Because you're paid by the company. Revenue. So I look at revenue, profit or loss before tax, and cash. Now, we want to see these improving or not. Okay? 83 million market cap, take that into account. This is half year, so you can largely double these figures pretty much, unless there's seasonality going on or big contract wins. But revenue, 24.1 million versus 20.3. Improvement. Profit or loss before tax, 3.4 million versus 4.9 million. Improvement. But it's still a loss, isn't it? 3.4 million. Net debt of 5.1 million. Versus 5.5 million in cash. So that's dropped by 10.6 million. not improvement. Why is that worth 83 million? Bangor, they do these sort of special sort of payment system. Let me just get the actual, I don't know why I didn't get a description of this, the actual description of Bangor. There's been a lot of hype around this company, but I still don't understand why it's valued at 83 million. So they are, provides digital payments and marketing technology. The company offers online merchants, including Amazon, Google, and Microsoft, to use Bangor technology to acquire more paying users. I suppose because you're hooked up with big names like that. But next, the Brighton Peer Group. And they are an entertainment business spread across four divisions. That's the Brighton Palace Pier, the Golf Division, the Bars Division, trading under five sites, and Lightwater Valley Family Adventure Park. 13 million market cap revenue, 13.9 million versus 16.2. Not an improvement. Profit or loss before tax. They made a profit of 174K versus 3.9 million loss last year. So, improvement. Net debt, 7.6 million. And that's gone up from 7.4. So it's not really an improvement, is it? Okay. Again, did they make a profit? Yes. So Bangor didn't make a profit. They made a slight profit. Christie Group, the leading provider of professional and financial services and stock and inventory systems to the hospitality, leisure, healthcare, medical, childcare, education and retail sectors. 6 months. These are interims, okay? Revenue, 35 million versus 33. Improvement. Loss before tax, 1.1 versus 1.8. These are losses. Improvement. Cash. I don't know why I'm saying improvement of that. 705K versus 3.6 million. Not improvement. So got borrowings of 3 million. So got net debt pretty much of 2.3 million. So again, loss making again. Okay. So what we had, one out of three so far making a profit. Next company, DG Innovate. An advanced research and development company developing pioneering solutions in sustainable mobility and energy storage. Market cap, 40 million. Turnover, 116K versus 30K. Improvement. Loss before taxation, 3 million versus 1.9. Not an improvement. Suggest some catchphrases I can use for this, okay? Just liven it up a bit. I don't know if improvement or not improvement doesn't work. Cash of 818K versus 159K. So it's improvement that was done by a placing, though. So again, we got one company out of four now that's made a profit. And that was a tiny profit. Next, E-Energy. Oh, sorry, let me just look at this. I haven't gone through the share prices on these. Silly me. Bangor, it's up 5.78% to 115. Whereas DG Innovate up 0.5%. Christie Group, did I mention those? 95 pence. Oh, am I doing those now? No, yeah. Okay, so that's that. E-Energy, net zero services provider, announced an update for trading 6 months. Market cap 22 million. Revenue of 6 million versus 11 million. It's gone down. Loss before tax, 4.9 versus 1.9. Oof, that's not an improvement. 4.9 million loss versus 1.9 last year. Cash and equivalents of 5.9. Hang on, I thought they sold. I did look at that, but I thought they were waiting for that. They sold part of the business, didn't they? I'm just wondering if that's not gone through yet. They've not got the cash yet, which they sold it for as much as the business was worth. So net cash versus net debt. So strong partner. Yeah, they sold the energy management division for 29.3 million. They had net cash of 6 million versus debt of 7.4. So where's that gone? Whilst the board is pleased to maintain full year revenue guidance of 25 to 26 million, it notes that this is linked to high volume of projects scheduled for installation towards the end of the year, when timing of project delivery can be exposed to adverse weather conditions in the short term, any variation in revenue in full year would be expected to have corresponding impact on earnings. Yeah, that's suggesting to me they're not confident they'll get them all done. But where did they not receive that money? It's sort of the cash flow statement. Proceeds from the sale of the energy management division. Yeah, they have. So where's that cash gone? Wow. Okay. Right. Okay, next. Frankel Topping, everyone. Anyone for Frankel Topping? No? I always find that a very odd name. FEN is ticker. They're a specialist financial and professional services firm operating within the personal injury and clinical negligence marketplace. Ambulance chaser, in brackets. Market cap, 47 million. Revenue, 17.9 versus 16. Yes, improvement. Profit for tax, 1.7 versus 2.4. No, not an improvement. Cash, 4.1 versus 4.9. Not an improvement. But they are making a profit. Is that the second one in six or something? So they did make a profit, 1.7 million for the half year. Gusbourne, the premium English sparkling wine producer, is pleased to report. Why are you so pleased? If I put these results out, I wouldn't be pleased. You should apologise. We apologise for these results. But this is a 38 million market cap company, right? Revenue 3.5 million versus 3.6. Loss before tax of 1.9 versus 1.4. So that's increased. And the revenue's gone down. Cash of 198K versus 151K. They got a net debt of 20.5 million versus 15.2 last year. So an increase of 34% on debt. Why don't see why you're pleased, unless you've been drinking too much of your produce. I don't see why you're pleased. These results are great. Absolutely fantastic. I'm wondering if they are drunk, these people. Gus is ticker there. Let's have a look at the, what's happening there. E-Energy is down 1.71%. Frankel Top is down 0.1%. Gus is up a tiny bit, 0.8 to 63 pence, but it's only that. Well, it's going nowhere, really. What's next? Huddle Group, the circular economy e-commerce business. They just sell out-of-date cans of food, don't they, I think. It's pleased to announce its unaudited results, 6 months. Market cap, 10 million. Revenue, 5.2 versus 62K. So they've gone from 62K in revenue up to 5.2 million. But the loss before tax also gone up to 1.8 versus 1.1. And cash of 3.2 now versus 6.8. So I'd say the only metric improving there is revenue. But it's not really dropping to the bottom line, is it? Because they're losing money. Where is Huddled? It's down 3% of 3.3 pence. Next one. Madetech, a leading provider of digital data and technology. This is for the full year. And they're pleased to announce this as well. 27 million market cap. Revenue, 38.6 million versus 40.2. Not an improvement. Loss before tax of 2.9 versus 1.5 million. Not an improvement. So it's double the loss on less revenue. Cash of 7.6 million versus 8.4 last year. Not an improvement. Trouble is they work with public, so they digitise public sector stuff, you know, the Department of Energy, Department of Health, all that, departments, you know, and they're thinking. I understand they do suggest it may be helped by Labour and want to improve the efficiency of the NHS and all that stuff, but the payment cycles can be bad, and I don't know. Next, Ocean Harvest Technology. Sounds so good, that name, doesn't it? Specialises in researching, developing and selling seaweed. Doesn't sound as impressive. And selling your product. Apparently, there's a magical power to seaweed somewhere. You should put it more in your food and use it more. And it's quite sustainable, I think, isn't it? So, in fact, I went on holidays once to Mexico about 5 years ago, I think it was, and did have lovely beaches until all the seaweed came in. And it stank. Absolutely reeked. Anyway, I don't know how that's relevant, apart from, I think it was seaweed. Market cap, 13 million market cap. Reported revenue, 951K versus 1.75. Not an improvement. Loss before tax, 2.13 versus 2.18. Sort of slight improvement on the loss. Cash of 1 million versus 4.75. Oh, not an improvement. And they mentioned they've conditionally raised 1.5 million before expenses by way of issued a secure loan notes and warrants to certain existing shareholders. Uh-oh. Okay, so that's not good. Pretty much, where are they? Ocean Harvest Technology, they're up 1.5%, sorry, to 10.7 pence. Again, another loss. How many have made a profit here? So we got two companies? Maybe I'll count them in a bit. Petards. Petard. The AIM Corey developer and advanced security communications and surveillance systems. They're pleased to report these interim results. Market cap around about 6 million. Revenue 4.4 versus 4.4, pretty much flat. Loss before tax 928K versus 500K. Not an improvement. Almost doubled the loss. Net debt 30th of June 680K. And at the end of the year last year, 2023, they had net funds of 1.2. So again, I don't know why they're pleased to report these interim results. Because again, you should be apologising. We're talking about good, bad, and ugly. Have we had a good yet, really? We haven't, have we? We've had some bad. This is ugly. Surface Transforms, manufacturers of carbon fibre reinforced ceramic automotive disc brakes. Just wondering, is there enough in that just to do that? Surely other companies do that as well. Anyway, if you look at the share price, obviously not. But market cap of 9 million now after today's fall. Revenue of 4.6 versus 2.9 million. Okay, that's an improvement. Loss before tax of 7 million versus 4.9. So that's not an improvement. Cash, they did raise some money of 4.98 versus 4.5. And they did literally do a hugely discounted placing to raise that cash. Almost wiped out in shareholders, almost. Well, it did. It was down at 90% or something ridiculous. And they do say it's down today. Let's look how far it's down. PEG, by the way, Petards, down 12%. Brighton Pier, I didn't mention those earlier. They're down 10%. Surface Transforms, biggest loser of the day. They're down 72% to 0.398 pence. And this is after hammering. If you go back, if I do a 12-month chart, that's a 12-month, 1 year. They were at 24 pence a share. And now they're at 0.398 of 1 pence a share. So this is a summary and outlook, which really took it down. While we are delivering new highs in terms of output and revenues in 2024, the pace of growth is significantly behind plan. Revenues for Q3 are expected to be significantly down on plan, and we have revised our output and revenue plans for Q4 materially downwards. Oh, that's good to hear. As a result, revenues for the full year are now expected to be 11 million, which is significantly lower than the current market expectations of 17.5. Yeah, it is. This company's had an absolute nightmare. Surface Transforms. Oof. Next, Surgical Innovations, ticker SUN. These are interim results as well. Market cap, 6 million. Revenues increased. Ooh, 6.2 million versus 5.7. Loss before tax also increased. 487,000 versus 374. Net debt at the end of the period of 500,000 when they had net cash at the end of last year. Well, they're not pleased. They did say they report their results. They're not pleased. I'm glad, because there's nothing to be pleased about there. T42 IoT Tracking Solutions, Track, TRAC. This company, I've no idea. I'm not going to call it a con or a fraud. I'm not going to say that. What I don't understand is how they announce contracts where they say the upside could be 20 million, 10 million, 5 million. It's ridiculous amounts of money. Honestly, I've never seen such bullish ramping of contracts in my life, saying the potential upside is huge. We could be supplying these, you know, security systems or locks, and it could be worth millions, 100 million. They are. They suggest those kind of size of numbers. And they put out their results They're tiny. I thought, how can you keep doing that? And in between, they do a couple of placings. They provide real-time tracking, security, and monitoring solutions for the global supply chain. Market cap of 2.3 million. Revenues of 2 million versus 1.7. Loss for the year of 1.3 million. So the revenue's gone up, but the loss has also gone up. 1.3 million versus 754K last year. Cash of 135K versus 215. So, you know, apart from revenue, it's all gone down. I don't understand where the potential is in these contracts they keep announcing and why they don't materialise. One would have to suggest their Nomad should look at them saying, I think you're being overly optimistic. Because as yet, not one of these contracts have come in, as you say, delivering double-digit, triple-digit revenue. Never. I've not seen one. Their revenue has been grinding down lower every year. So be careful of that company, TREC. Tasty! Let's see if the results are tasty. The owner-operator of restaurants in the casual dining... it's a hard sector to be in. Announces interim results. So they got a 2.45 million market cap. I couldn't believe this. 2.45, really? By the way, where's Track? Track's up 12.82%. Oof, waste of time. Tasty's down 2%. Yeah, is that right? 2.45 million market cap. So listen to this. They do have net liabilities. They started the period with 51 trading restaurants, 14 closed, ending the period with 37 trading restaurants. They have 750 grand loans received to fund restructuring plan and provide additional working capital. Cost of living crisis, rapid decline in consumer confidence, and interest rates expected to further impact revenues in H2 2024. Inflationary pressures on labour and food continues to adversely affect profitability, but it's being kept under control. These were their highlights. I quite like the fact they're so blunt about it. But revenue was 19.1 million versus 21.7, so not an improvement. Profit loss before tax. They did a profit before tax, 13.3 million versus a 6.2 million loss. But they did just gain on lease modifications by 15 million. So it wasn't operations here. Cash of 2.9 million versus 2.7 million. But they have total net liability of 3.1. So in a hard market here, and they're struggling. Another one who's struggling is Tiny Build, TBLD, a premium video games publisher and developer with global operations. Pleased as well. 8.4 million market cap, revenue of 18.8 million versus 23.3, so it's down. Loss before tax, 6.1 million loss, these dollars, versus 31.6. So that's an improvement, looking on the bright side. In January, they raised 12.3 million. So they've got net cash now of 9.2 million. They say cash and equivalents remained higher than expected throughout the summer, and it is anticipated reduced towards the end of the year as the company continues to invest in a disciplined manner in upcoming game releases. I'm glad it's in a disciplined manner. I'm glad it's not chaotic and laughing like a crazy. Let's just chuck this money at that game. We don't know what we're doing. I'm glad it's disciplined in some way. Where are they? Did they fall or they drop? Tiny Bills down 0.42% down. But I said, if you go back a year, it's been dreadful. So let's go back 5 years ago, right? That share price was £2.76 a share. £2.76 a share, that was 2 years ago. 5 years ago, sorry. It's now 4 pence a share. What's next? Venture Life Group, a leader in developing manufacturing and commercialization products for all international self-care market for ladies' hygiene to making your breath smell nicer. Oh, it's sexy business. Interim results. Market cap 60 million. Revenue of 23.4 million versus 23.4. So flat, the revenue. Loss before tax 1.6 million versus 1.3. So that's gone up. Revenue flat. Loss has gone up. Cash of 5.5 versus 3.6. So cash has gone up there. But again, should they be worth 60 million on a loss? I don't know. Okay, we got a couple more. Okay, a couple more. World Chess, a leading chess organization seeking to promote the mass market appeal of chess globally through the offering of different chess-related activities. Okay. Interims. The market cap is 38 million. I don't see, again, why they've... I mean, they did an IPO long ago. Why they're valued at 38 million, I have no idea. Checkmate. For my brain, that is. Or I'm in a stalemate as to whether why they're valued at that. Revenue for the half year, 1.2 million euros. Any growth? Well, it was 1.2 last year. Seems like people are not catching on to the appeal of chess. Projects loss of 1.9 million euros versus 2.3. So that's improved a smidge. Cash of 92K versus 254K. Did a fundraise of 1.2 post-period. It's not going to last them, is it, at that burn rate? They're worth 38 million market cap. What? On revenues of what? Let's say 1.2 for the half year. Right? Let's double that, 2.4. So what is that? 15 times sales. They haven't got any profits to make a multiple of. You can't, you know, so... What? That's insane. Xeros, the perennial disappointer. I would love it if a company put that in their headlines. The creator of technologies that reduce the impact of clothing on the planet and perennial disappointer as far as the share price is concerned is pleased to announce unaudited results. Market cap 3 million, revenue 79K versus 113K. Not an improvement. Loss before tax 2.5 million versus 2.7. An improvement, but it's still a loss. Cash at 4.7 million versus 3.4 million. They did raise 5.8 via placing during the period, and that's going so, you know, they're burning it. Outlook, the group's current financing sufficient. They say they've got enough money to get to month-on-month cash flow break-even, which is expected during full year 2025, financial year 2025. Month-on-month cash flow break-even. There we are. What a milestone. And finally, Zinc Media, the award-winning television and content production group, please announce unaudited results. Market cap, 15 million. Revenue, 14 million versus 17.6. Not an improvement. Loss before tax, 2.2 versus 1.1. Doubled the loss. Cash of 4 million versus 5.7 million. Borrowings of 3.4. So net cash around about 600K. Again, how many companies there actually made a profit? 1, 2, 3, 4. So I pretty much covered about 20 companies there. Only two made a profit before tax. So do the math. That's like over 75%. Okay. So 10% are profitable. Wow. On revenue generating companies. This is not including all the nonsense on AIM that have no revenue. These are revenue generating companies. All you have to do sometimes is look for companies that are generating a profit out of a decent valuation and are improving. So all you have to do, crazy, 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 for sustainable rises. I mean, some of these will just rise, and then they'll come back and they pop and drop. Okay. By the way, if you want to receive my tips email, visit sharepickers.com/tips. Just by signing up, this means you qualify for 20% off the Share Pickers Investment Club. Members' benefits include early access to share tips, access to live webinars. In fact, every Wednesday I do a live weekly webinar where multiple stock ideas are analysed and discussed. Access to the Microcap League. This is unique. Nothing else like this. These are, unlike most of the companies just read, these are profitable microcap companies which are analysed, colour-coded and scored, then ranked on 20 different metrics. A free copy of my book, How to Become a Microcap Millionaire, ahead of official publishing, which is coming out in December. Access to view my holdings, which I update after new transactions. Access to educational videos on fundamental, technical analysis and portfolio management. Access to the chat group. And to receive that, weekly email, sharepickers.com/tips. Thanks for listening. It's a long one. I do apologise. There's lots of results out. Most of them were crap. What a waste of time. Now, you've got to get through. It's like mining for diamonds. You've got to go through lots of crap to find good companies. Now, good companies are not the norm. That's why they're good. That's why they're ahead of the pack. Especially great or exceptional companies, they're even more rare. So remember, good companies on AIM are quite rare. But it's worth doing the research to find them, because that's when you can make some money. Thanks for listening. Speak tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. Building wealth through investing. For more information, visit sharepickers.com. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.